Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Come and sit down. Who's man? Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to do some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm singing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to put down the babies. Put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Game time!
Welcome to another Parents Coach and Parent Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Michael Scott, and I promise we're going to have another exciting show this evening. Parents, sorry for the late start, but I'm currently on the road, but we're going to kick the show off anyway. But this evening, we're going to have a show where I promise you, you're going to need to get some notebook, pen, and paper out, because we got a special guest that's going to talk about some exciting things for you. Right now, I'm going to just talk for a little while. Hopefully, my special guest is already on the line, and he can hold while we get situated. But we're going to talk about the NCAA, okay? We all know the NCAA is out there to support our student-athletes and provide guidance, rules, and regulations to make sure that our student-athletes are eligible to play at the next level, which is the college level, okay? That organization, like I said, they're out there to guide and make sure that our student-athletes are eligible. That organization is a self-governing organization. And what I mean by that, you know, they have their rules, their regulations, and I am not sure, and hopefully our guests will be able to help us out a little bit this evening, I'm not sure exactly who is the body that oversees the NCAA. But we're not going to dig into the NCAA as though we're going to make them our adversaries. We're just going to discuss the issues of how they're there to support us. Last week, if you listened in on the call, you have a eligibility center, formerly known as the Clearinghouse. An eligibility center, we had a director on from the eligibility center last week, and he was on to help us get a better understanding of how your athletes should be preparing themselves for the next level. Some of the things that we talked about, the standardized tests, which is your SAT and your ACT. We talked about how parents should be involved in the process. We talked quite a bit about amateurism, which later on in the show, if I get a chance, I'm going to go back over that a little bit. But one of the main things that we talked about, was how to make sure that your student athlete is prepared by taking the right courses, you know. And what I mean by the right courses, if you go to the NCAA's website or the Eligibility Center's website and you look up your list of core classes or 48H form, formerly known as 48H, if you look at the form up, then you'll find a list of courses that your student should be taking each year. And if you haven't had a chance to look at that information, then you're doing yourself and your student athlete a very serious disservice. And I seriously mean that, because you may have your child enrolled in a bunch of classes thinking that, okay, hey, he or she is getting all A's and have a bunch of electives listed on their transcript, and at the end of the day, they don't have the right core classes to even be qualified, or the core classes that they were taking, the required ones, you know, English, math, science, and social studies, they didn't get passing grades, or they had very marginal to low grades. Parents, take a look at this information. If you don't know Or if you're not sure, the Parents Coach to Parent Network is here to help you and support you to make sure that you do have this information and you are looking at the right forms and information for your child to be qualified. Next thing that we talked about last week is parents oftentimes, and this is something that you can actually sit down and discuss with your athletes as well. Oftentimes, our athletes have these very high expectations. And these very high expectations lead them to believe that they are all high-profile Division I athletes. They are athletes that need to be at the Texas A&M. They're athletes that need to be playing ball at UCLA. They're athletes that need to be playing ball in Miami, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Connecticut, Pittsburgh. Well, realistically, if you look at their skill level and their development, and even in some cases a very clear indicator, if you look at their body size in comparison to what you see on the roster of that particular team, sometimes it doesn't balance out to be what you should be seeing. And what I mean by that, if your son, let's go with basketball. You know, that seems that's my favorite sport. Not to say I'm against any other sport, but that's just sport that I can talk about real quick. Let's look at basketball. Your son is in high school. He's playing basketball. He's one of the taller kids on the team. He's approximately 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", benefit of the doubt, okay? So he's the tallest kid on the team. He is playing the center position, or as they commonly refer to, as the five. Now, if he's playing that position in high school, and he's very successful at it, could be the leading scorer in the district, or even in the state or the county, however you want to look at it, okay? If that athlete is playing at that position and he's very successful at it, we have to be realistic to see if that athlete will actually fit in at a Division I program at the height of 6'3". The average guard, the one or the two, is at least, in a lot of cases, 6 feet, 6'1". If you're below that, you're normally considered small at a high Division I school. Even a mid-major Division I school, you're still questionable. So to say that your child at 6'3" is capable of playing and being effective at the center position is not a realistic situation. So as a result, what we need to do, we need to really, really, really take a look at that and start looking at our athletes for where they can best fit into a particular program. If we really take a look at it, we'll see where our athletes realistically fit into a particular program. You don't see too many 6'3" centers out there at the Division II, the Division I, and I'd be willing to bet I wouldn't even say the Division III. You would see a 6'3" center. Okay, if we're talking about at the college level, 6'3" at that position is not something that you would normally see. I believe that athlete would have to be an exceptional athlete in order to be plugged into that position at Division I, II, or III level. Even I would even include that into the junior college level as well. You know, you have to have an exceptional athlete to be 6 feet three and be plugged in as a center. So we have to look at our athletes for what they're worth, okay? You know, our overall goal and overall mission should be to try to secure an athletic scholarship for them if they have that ability and that talent to play and that gift to play, okay? Now, all athletes are not going to be at the high level, at the high major university institutions. You know, some of them will be at the Division II, Division III, junior college, NAIA, whatever case may be. So let's look at it for actually what it's worth and quit allowing these scholarships to get away from us based upon thinking that our athletes should be at this high level. You know, if it's not realistic, then let's not push it. You know, because we're not doing anything for our athletes but wasting an opportunity for them to get into school. If we look at a realistic school, and if you get a application or whatever from, or some form of interest from a coach, and it's at a Division III school or junior college or whatever, then hey, go for it. If that's your student athlete's best bet, best opportunity, go for it. Because you have to look at it for what it's actually worth. That athlete is having an opportunity to attend school and receive funding, financial aid, based upon his or her ability. So do not shortchange your student athlete based upon lack of information, you know. So give them the opportunity to play at that level and be successful at it. But if you don't, what's going to happen? End result, your athlete will miss out, and then you'll end up paying for school. So, and that is here to help you get a better understanding of the recruiting process and help you get your child into school by understanding the recruiting process. At the same time, we're also here to make sure or try to help you avoid any of them situations that that you may get or your athlete may be caught up in due to a lack of knowledge and lack of understanding. You know, we're constantly here to support you. We want to make sure that you have the right information, documentation, and everything else in hand and available to you. So if at any time you have a question, you can always email us here at the Parents, Coach, and Parent Network. Email address is pcphr@aol.com. Again, the email address is pcphr@aol.com. In addition to that, if you haven't had a chance to look through the guide for college-bound student athletes, again, you're not doing everything that you're capable of doing. If you need a copy of that, please email me, and I will get a copy of that as well for you. All right? Again, we're here for you, Parents, Coach, and Parent Network. And we should be stationary. We should be up in the air in a minute, and hopefully I can bring on my guests, and we can move right into what we came to hear this evening. Because my guest, I promise you, he's going to come here with some information and talk about some things that a lot of you parents weren't aware of, or a lot of you parents oftentimes thought was a myth. Okay. So, enough said on that note. I will be up and running. And of course, you know, as soon as I come up, I got to play my man Keith Wright, because we always open the show with some good information from my man, Mr. Keith Wright. And Keith Wright is currently a student attending the University of Harvard. And he's playing basketball, so if you get a chance to catch Harvard on TV, look for my man, Mr. Keith Wright. He's out there doing his thing, winding down. I think he's in his third year, or should be last year at Harvard. He should be at his last year at Harvard. So we will have a Harvard grad that is a strong supporter of the Parents, Coach, and Parent Network out and about and unleashed on the world here shortly. Other than that, dear parents, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest this evening. Our guest's name, Mr. Fletcher Cockrell. And Fletcher has written a book. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been looking at this book over the last couple of days, and I seem to can't put it down. So hopefully, once you get a copy in your hand, you're going to have the same thing going on. Well, Fletcher once was a coach at the NCAA level, coached for a number of years. And after he moved on to after he completed his coaching career, he moved on to become a lawyer and been practicing law for, I believe, approximately about 10 years or so. And lawyer turned author. So now he's out there doing his thing, writing great pieces, great works. And I'm going to tell you there, Fletcher, hopefully you don't mind me calling you Fletcher, but I'm going to tell you, I can't put the book down. And what I've came across so far, hey, I'd look to see that this makes it to a movie here real shortly, because this is a good piece of work. Good piece of work. This is one suspense movies that keep you sitting on the edge of your seat. But I ain't going to tell you too much about it. I'm going to bring him up here shortly and let him talk about what's going on with his book. His book is entitled Dismissed with Prejudice. And as soon as I get online here, I'm going to bring up our author. I see he's already on. But I'm going to give you a little piece on Dismissed with Prejudice. So, check it out before we bring our author up.
For college sports, winning has its price. Coach turned lawyer turned author explores the corruption behind collegiate sports. Cold-blooded murder, drug habits, laundering, extortion, and witness tampering. No, this isn't a laundry list of the mafia's chosen pastimes. This is a collection of known scandals in collegiate sports. Look at the recent NCAA investigations from USC all the way to UConn and UNC. Consider the regrettable Baylor University scandal in 2003, which left one young player murdered and an immoral coach exposed. The Arizona State University point-shaving scheme in the 90s, the 1999 University of Minnesota men's basketball academic cheating scandal, and even the recent Rick Pitino extortion case are perfect examples of an innocent American pastime gone wrong. We'll talk to the author of the great novel Dismissed with Prejudice on the Parents Coaching Parents Network. So log on Thursday at 9 p.m. Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
All right, we are up and running. I'm set and ready to go. And I've already checked in, found out that we do have our author on the air. Fletcher, are you still on the air with us, sir?
Yes, I'm here with you.
Hey, good evening, good evening, good evening. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, and I really appreciate y'all having me on.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate your patience. Believe it or not, I looked up and realized Tom had got away from me, so I had to jump in the car and scramble and get myself home and get myself set up on my switchboard here so we can go live. And I appreciate your patience there, sir. Got you on this evening, and I told our folks that we are going to be talking a lot about your book, because I want to really hear about the book, but I've dug into, found out some good things in this book, and I'm still trying to get finished with it. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was a started coaching collegiately back in 1982, coached at McNeese State, coached a fellow by the name of Joe Dumars for a couple of years, then I moved on to Odessa Junior College and signed a player by the name of Larry Johnson. I coached him for 2 years and moved to the University of Idaho, Texas A&M, Jones Junior College, and then New Mexico State. And I coached a few years, got fired in a recruiting scandal when my boss was fired. And so I've been through NCAA turmoils. I'm now an attorney, and I also represent some coaches in contract negotiations. And I also am a certified NBA agent and represent a few players there. So, I kind of know both sides of the system, and I wouldn't trade what I've gone through in my life for anything in the world. All the experiences have been great learning experiences. I've had to deal with a lot of adversity, and now I think I can really help people. I'm also the chief legal counsel for the Texas Association of Basketball Coaches and represent coaches free of charge here in Texas when they're getting, contract disputes and things like that.
Okay. So you've been busy over the last few years or so.
Yes, I have.
That's a great thing. That's a great thing. And, I've listened to you and heard you say that you went from coaching to the law profession. That's a strange transition.
Yes. It really is a strange transition. I was going to do that coming out of college. And I got a great coaching job and once one thing led to another and I was at a high level and I just never got back into the legal profession until I got fired, which I don't try to sugarcoat anything. I got fired just like a lot of coaches do, and I went back in the legal profession, and now I'm also write a little bit, and I wrote this legal fiction book because I think it's something that could really happen, and I've been around enough to know that these things can happen.
Yes, folks, and the book we're talking about is called Dismissed with Prejudice, Dismissed with Prejudice. And you heard the little intro at the beginning. So we're going to go straight on into talking about the book. As I dig into the book there, sir, I notice you have a lot of great characters into the book. Either you got a very vivid imagination or you just got that knack for writing. Which one is it?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I'm kind of like the old Lou Holtz guy. You're only as good as the talent you have with you. And, great players make great coaches, and great characters make great authors, all these things that I've experienced through my life, I've kind of made a combination of a lot of different characters with people that I've met through the years, and I've kind of molded those into fictional characters, and, I think it's a real life-like situation. There's not a lot of people that's written legal fiction concerning college athletics, and I really don't understand why anybody hasn't, because it is literally, as you know, it's a billion-dollar industry in football, basketball, or anything else. And, that's why I'm surprised that nobody's touched in that area. And that's why I think this is kind of a unique book, because I have experience on both sides. It's not somebody writing about something that they don't know anything about.
Yeah, and like I said earlier on, I know you heard me throw it out there, I think this is going to turn into a movie. I wouldn't be surprised to hear later on down the line, hey, Fletcher got the deal. Got the movie deal, and this thing going to hit the big screen here shortly, because I definitely, as I'm going through the book, I see some things that jump out on me that, a lot of folks just sitting there watching the movie will learn from it. It will be an experience. And as I read the book, parts of the book, I'm still trying to go through it, I thought about some situations that I've heard with other players, real life situations that I heard with other players and things like that. And we're not going into any name bashing or trying to dig anybody into the mud this evening. We're going to talk more about the book. But as I read the book, I got that out of it, and I said, all of these are some serious learning points. You came out with these characters, some very strong characters, some very interesting characters. And I'm not trying to get you to tie any of these characters to anybody that we know, but if you looking at your man, Mr. Tom Boyd, if you had to identify a coach that's out there today, who would be the closest person to Mr. Tom Boyd? Not on the bad side of things, but the way he handled himself.
Well, I don't, you know, these are people that I was in their coaching trees for a while until I got on the bad side. But if I was going to more or less pick somebody out, and I always like to preface it with a disclaimer that this is fiction, not true, but I would compare a Tom Boyd to a Tim Floyd that used to be at USC and from Louisiana originally.
But they
are literally a combination of about 4 to 5 characters. One of my former closest friends was one of the head coaches at LSU in the last 10 years, and all these people are people that I'm extremely close with that I have coached with or against throughout my 15 years of collegiate coaching. But there are a lot of persons out there that I could identify these characters with.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. That is great. And you know, I wasn't saying that or trying to get you to put anybody, as they would say nowadays, throw anybody under the bus. I was just interested in that character because he caught my
attention. Well, you're a great interviewer. I've done about 8 of these shows, and you're the first one that just brought it to the forefront like that. I like that.
I appreciate it. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And, you know, I was interested in the book. I wasn't interested in talking about all these other different things that I've heard, and I caught a couple of your other interviews and listened to them, and I was like, okay, no, we're going to talk more about the book, because things in the book, I said, that it was very interesting to me. My next question, I know this question came to you before, but who would be your target audience for this book?
Well, you know, I honestly think, you know, I've had more women review this book than men, and probably 95% of the reviews from the women have been great. So, I think anybody can read it. Naturally, great, you know, sports fans would love this, but this is more of in the line of a John Grisham type book that kind of gets you from, you know, keeps you turning the page. It's kind of suspenseful. It has some legal twists in there that, you know, like I said, I've been an attorney about 10 years now, and I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been involved in NCAA investigation where you have law firms involved in it and things like that. I've watched all the scandals occur. I've been in the middle of them. But, you know, I think combining the legal aspect with the collegiate aspect makes it a very unique type of book.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to have to question you on one part. You say you think anybody should be able to take a look at this book and read this book? Come on,
yeah.
come on, Fletcher. You got some steamy scenes in there.
Well, you always have to have a few steamy scenes. Today, coincidentally, the president of the university that I graduated from and the dean of academic gifts and charity donations came and took me out to lunch today down here in Houston, and they presented me with a book from one of their alumni, and then I gave them a copy of my book, and I told the president, his name is Dub Oliver, just became the president there. He came there from Baylor. And I told Dub Oliver, I said, there's only about 10 or 12 words in there that I don't think a Baptist university could be able to read, but the rest of it's okay.
That's true. So far, what I came across, that's so true. Okay. All right. Let's get into some of the questions that I have for you there, sir. One of the things that came across, you know, just the title of the book itself, Dismissed with Prejudice. You know, we looking at a dismissal that's barring the plaintiff from prosecuting. What is a dismissal? You tell me. You're the lawyer.
Okay. The reason I call this book Dismissed with Prejudice is because in a court of law, when a case is dismissed with prejudice, that means you can never go back and try it again. Okay? That means no matter what, you can never bring that case back in court. So it's final. Finito, completely done.
Okay.
And so I, you know, kind of compare this with some of my characters, because once you go into coaching, and I'm a perfect example of this, and I don't try to sugarcoat anything. I was on my way to becoming I was a Division I coach for 15 years, and I was on the fast track to getting
on the top level. But once you get fired at a place, it's almost like, especially in Division One, you get that more or less stain on you. It's almost like having the old scarlet letter, the brand on you that, hey, you were caught, you're a bad person. And it's almost like you can never go back. So it was almost like the coach in this book could never go back and be a coach again because, you were dismissed, and I think it was with prejudice. It was not right how it happened. And so, okay. And so many things, if you go into the book where the lady had the child out of wedlock in this book, you see that person, that child was dismissed with prejudice. You can never go back and get those years when you didn't have your father. And that's one of the reasons I call the book Dismissed with Prejudice.
All right. Thank you. Parents, if you're on the Internet and you're listening to us and you want to call in, if you have some questions for our guests this evening, you can give us a call at 646-929-2416. I'll say it again, 646-929-2416. Hey, Fletcher, I'm going to have to hold for a second because I feel a little out of place. I started my show without playing a little tune from one of my kids that's out there attending Harvard right now, and I told him I have to play it every show. So if you can hold on a second, we'll come right back to you with some more questions. How that sounds?
Okay. Okay, that sounds good.
All right. Here we go.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I knew I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
As I always tell you, that was my man, Mr. Keith Wright. And, the whole thing I want you to get out of that little piece and pass that on to your children is that he said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. We're on the line this evening with Mr. Fletcher Cockrell, the author, the great author of Dismissed with Prejudice. Fletcher, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. We got just a few more minutes with him, Pam. So if you got any questions, give us a call at 646-929-2416. Hey, you talked about a lot in your book and mainly focused on the basketball situation. But these type of scandals and situations, what are some of the main sports that you know that they can happen to? I know basketball is one. Is football another one, being high-revenue sports?
Yes, but basketball and football are the main ones because, even much more in basketball because one player can basically turn an entire program around in basketball, where in football you need more. So, it's usually more prevalent in basketball. I know it's happened a lot in football through the years, but basketball is really big because of the – basketball is a worldwide sport, too, and whereas football isn't.
Okay. Now, in your book, you the book is all over the place. It covers areas, stuff going on down in Louisiana and all over the place. Looking at that part of the story, you're just trying to give us a big or broad picture. Give us some more insight on how do we end up doing all the traveling.
Well, the venue my book is in Louisiana because I think it's, I coach in Louisiana. I'm from Texas, right on the border of Louisiana. It's such a very cultural state, and it's probably, not probably, it is the most political state in the country, and that's even over Washington, D.C. And so, Louisiana, it's really not what it's who. And you know, these kind of things can could easily happen because of the you know, the SEC is such a powerful conference in football and basketball, and the money down there with the boosters and alumni is so extravagant, so to speak, that I think that these kind of things can easily happen because, you know, people these days are not playing over just millions of dollars. They're playing over tens of millions of dollars, these conferences.
Exactly.
And, you know, if anyone, if a booster, so to speak, that was always wanting to be the guy to go to can make a difference in the program, sometimes they get carried away and they just want to beat their chest and say, hey, I got this guy here. And, you know, a lot of these things happen more often than you would think. And this kind of thing could definitely happen. You know, the Tulane basketball back in the 80s, they had the point-shaving scandal that, you know, happened. These kind of things can really happen. And where I point out in my novel is I have the coach being the main, you know, protagonist in this, is being the person who deals with these situations, because that's the best situation that it could be. Because if you really think about it, kids always talk, but a coach wouldn't. No one knows what's in a coach's mind, but a kid could talk. So that's why I made it the coach that was the one that was the main protagonist in this novel.
Okay. You know, you talk a lot about boosters, and oftentimes parents don't understand exactly who are boosters and what are boosters. Give us a little bit more insight on what is a booster.
Well, you know, a booster is someone who possibly graduated from the college that supports the college, gives money to the college, maybe loves sports, loves athletics, and tries to do things for the college. And there's nothing wrong with having boosters, but when you have boosters trying to give extra benefits to players to come to different colleges, that's where you start having your problems. And, you know, in the SEC, I think it's more prevalent than any place because you have so many different schools. You're so powerful. You got LSU, Florida, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee. And then, you know, you just have, you know, just a number of multimillionaires that are involved in this program that want to all put their stamp on it.
Exactly. And parents, if you're not sure and you didn't get a full understanding of what he was explaining to us, think about the movie Blindside. Think about the young I shouldn't say young lady, but think about the lady that was tutoring Michael in that movie Blindside. She was a booster, and she was also working as a tutor to try to guide and persuade that young man. And the family that took Michael in as well, they were also boosters of a particular university.
Yes.
You still there, sir?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, you know, you look at some of these, and that's why I say this here book is going to it's going to the big screen. I feel it. I know it. It's overdue, especially based upon what's going on in collegiate sports now, or all these things that are surfacing, should I say. And I'm a firm believer that they were going on probably years ago. It's just that it wasn't as obvious and it wasn't on the forefront. It wasn't being as reported as much. But I think this here is going to be a great piece that you're going to come out with.
Well, hey, Michael. One of the things that y'all want to tell any parents that, you know, could be listening, these days is, you know, we didn't have this 20, 25 years ago, but use this internet, use programs just like you have right now to become educated on what is going on out there, because you can find out anything on the internet or through blog radio or through informative shows like, you know, you are having, and they can become so educated that there's nothing that they can't find out.
Exactly. And like you said it right. You know, this type of information wasn't out there years ago. And, you know, I've been out of school myself over 30 years. So definitely we didn't have the access to these type of things. And, you know, we were just going for anything that came along. If somebody said something that sounded good to us, we went right along with the program, not knowing whether or not we was on the right side of thing or the bad side of thing. Now,
right.
We talk about scandals and stuff like that. Is there a difference between a scandal and a violation, or is that just the terminology used by NCAA or whoever?
Well, the biggest difference that I can tell you between a scandal and a violation is something that that you know went on at you know USC. There was a booster that you had a violation, and there were problems there. They broke rules. They gave extra benefits. O.J. Mayo got extra benefits. Reggie Bush got extra benefits. Those are violations. A scandal at this school could be something like Rick Pitino in a restaurant with that lady. That brings a scandal to the school. You know, so there are different, but most of the times you're right. Scandal and violations go hand in hand, but there are differences, definitely.
Okay. And I mentioned something, I don't know if you was on the air with us earlier on, but I mentioned something, and I'm not too sure about this, and hopefully you'll be able to clear it up for me, and I know just because your background, your experience. Is there a governing body above the NCAA, or are there laws defined?
No, their decisions are final. They are a private organization. They aren't a body of law. They have a lot of people on their director, board of directors, and on their committees that are lawyers or former lawyers. But they are the highest committee. I mean, they are the highest governing body of the NCAA.
Okay, you know, without going too deep into the book, and I know you only got a few minutes left. Without going deep into the book, I like that ending.
Okay,
that's
well,
all I'm
going
to say.
Okay, well,
hey,
all this could happen, Michael. I'm telling you, all this could happen. And,
exactly.
You know, those kind of things, there are more coaches out there that are just like this character than you would care to believe, I promise you.
I'd be willing to, I'd go right along with you. You know,
well, and you know, thank you for having me on. I really do appreciate it, and you know, I'd love to come on again sometime.
Yes, sir. We will make that happen. We will definitely make that happen. Parents, if you hadn't had the chance, we're talking to Mr. Fletcher. Pronounce your last name again, Fletcher. I hate jacking folks' names.
Cockrell, Fletcher Cockrell.
We're talking Mr. Fletcher Cockrell, author of a great book, Dismissed with Prejudice. And Dismissed with Prejudice, and I threw something at you there, parents. That ending, you want to get a taste of that. So you're going to have to
get
the book.
Michael, you can get this on Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com or PublishAmerica.net. And thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. I've got to run, but thank you so much.
Yes, sir. We'll talk again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, you have a good evening. All right. Folks, that was Mr. Fletcher Cockrell, author, lawyer, coach, all that. Now he is writing books and practicing law at the same time. He is still practicing law as we speak. And he wrote a great book, one of them type books, one of them John Grisham type books, one of them kind that have you sitting on the edge of the seat trying to figure out what's going to happen next. And the book is out there called Dismissed with Prejudice. And I threw something at you as far as that ending. Parents, I'm telling you, if you want to get a good read, oh, this is it. This is it. And trust me, when I say this is a nice, easy read, if you're sitting down one day and you got a chance to just open up your mind and just jump into this book real quick and you're deep into sports, this is the book. This is definitely the book. It's a nice, easy read, you know. Like he said, there's a few words in there or a few phrases or a few scenes or whatever that may have you covering your eyes or whatever, and I'm going to tell you that up front. But other than that, this is a great book, and this is something that you want to get a chance to pick up. It's called Dismissed with Prejudice by Mr. Fletcher Cockrell. He is a coach that turned attorney that turned author, all right? And he was here on the Parent Coach and Parent Network. Parents, give us a call if you have any questions. You can reach us at 646-929-2416. Again, I say 646-929-2416. I see a few folks out there. They're listening to the show, but they don't want to come up on the air, but that's all right. Hey, if you just enjoy listening to my voice or listening to what my guests have to say, that's all well and good, all good. Just to let you know there, parents, we've made connection with a few other folks that's out there that's helping out this evening. Met a group or had an opportunity to speak to a group by the name of Mocha.
Mocha, and over the next few weeks or so, we're going to have Mocha come on here and tell us a little bit about Mocha. But Mocha is a great organization, and it is right along the lines of the Parent Coach and Parent Network, and they're out there doing some of the great things that we're trying to do to support parents. MOCA stands for Mothers of College Athletes, okay? I say Mothers of College Athletes, that don't mean fathers. We've been exempt, we've been excluded, we've been pushed out the window. No, Mothers of College Athletes is an organization that do bring in daddies as well. So we will probably have MOCA on here shortly. Great organization. Had the opportunity to speak to the founder of MOCA, both husband and wife, spoke to them, and they are excited about coming on. And if you get a chance, you can look them up. Their website is www.mochamoms.com. No, .net. Mochamoms.net. Okay. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Mochamoms.org. Don't let me give out the wrong information. Don't let me give out the wrong information. And over the next few weeks, we'll have them here on the show so you can talk to them. But it's, again, MOCA stands for Mothers of College Athletes. Mothers of College Athletes. Mothers, fathers of college athletes, should I say. All right. Parents, if you got anything that you want to talk to, our guest has gone for the evening, Mr. Fletcher Clockwell. Cockrell, author of Dismissed with Prejudice. He was on talking to us. And like I said, we talked last week with the NCAA, and this week now we talk with Mr. Fletcher Cockrell. But one of the things that he just mentioned, and we all need to be aware of and keep our mind on, you know, he talked about how this can really happen. And what I mean by this, what is this? You know, what are you talking about? You know, this is a situation where your athlete, not only your athlete, but, you know, your you as a parent can get caught up in a bad situation based upon a scandal or based upon a violation. You know, he highlighted a few cases where he talked about Reggie Bush. He talked about He talked about O.J. Mayo. Them type of situations, but, you know, this can happen at any school out there. You know, you have folks that's out there and they have their sole intent on making the best possible program that they can create at all costs. And that's the ones that we want to make sure that we stay away from, and they may be harmful to the system. You know, we always have to remember that all money ain't good money. Okay, if you want to look at it and put it that way, all money's not good money. So we want to make sure we stay away from situations that's not going to be beneficial to us or our student-athletes, or should I say to our student-athletes or the family as well, you know. And I'm not going to stand up here and try to bash anybody or discuss any particular situations or whatever, but I just named a few that was out over the last few months or so, and I can pull up probably about 12 to 15 other violations that have occurred in, at different schools throughout the country. So no school is exempt from it. It just takes that one bad egg to get caught up in the system, or that one bad egg to have access to the system, and next thing you know, we got a problem at that particular school. Again, parents, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking to some more folks that's involved in helping us out, Mothers of College Athletes, MOCA. We'll probably have the family come on, Apogees and Al Woods, and a few other folks come on and join us on the show. As always, we always invite them on anytime they want to come on. And definitely, the Parents Coach and Parent Network is going to be here to support you. Now, next week being the Day of Thanks and the Day of Giving, okay, I may have a show. I'm not going to run a live show that evening. I may be sitting back relaxing, resting myself, and I may have a pre-recorded show running on the air. That's something I'll probably do earlier in the week. So be prepared to listen for that. If you are a big fan of the Parents Coach and Parent Network, share that information with others. And anytime you go to the Parent Coach and Parent Network page, click on follow, follow me, and that'll let us know that you appreciate what we're saying here on the Parent Coach and Parent Network. Next week, as I think about it, next week we will definitely have a show for you. I'll record that show and put it up on the air next week, so you can tune in at our regular time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, onto the Parent Coach and Parent Network. All right? If you want to follow us as well, you can reach us on Facebook as well, on the Parent Coach and Parent Network page. Just go on to Facebook and go to the Parent Coach and Parent Network page and follow us, follow along with us. We're posting good information up there as well. And we're going to, next thing we'll do, we'll start putting out the dates of the upcoming SATs, and we'll just post that on the page, and we'll start posting the contact period, what dates that's going to run from. I'm waiting to get a full printout from the NCAA, and once we get that printout, then we'll start posting that information up on the Parent Coach and Parent Network page on Facebook. So you'll know when the contact period, when the dead period, when the quiet period, and when the evaluation period. Contact period, dead period, quiet period, evaluation period. For those of you who didn't bother to call in last week or week before last when I had that question on the floor, you decided to opt out of trying to answer that question. But you should know that information. That information is important, very important. Parent Coach and Parent Network is always here to support you, parents. And I can't go out without giving my folks a little shout-out, my folks, Abigees. One time, where you at?
Are you a high school student seeking a college athletic scholarship? Do you have questions concerning the college recruiting process? Have you asked yourself any of these questions? Who do I contact for a scholarship? What are the rules concerning athletic recruiting? What schools are best for me? Apogees.com allows high school athletes the tools to showcase their athletic skills to college coaches. Go to Apogees.com. That's APOGEEZS.com. They will help you navigate the college recruiting process for free. Apogees, the right college, right choice for the right student athlete.
Folks, we got about 3 or 4 minutes left on the show this evening, and I'm going into my mailbag, something new I have on here on the Parent Coach and Parent Network. We're going to go into the mailbag and look at some of the questions that came up over the last week since our last show. One of the questions, off-season conditioning. Okay, athletes, you should try to always do your off-season conditioning. It's not the time to sit back and chill and relax and say that you're trying to rest your body. Off-season conditioning is very important, especially if you're trying to take your game to the next level. And, you know, oftentimes one may even recommend that you get involved in another sport. Like, say, for example, if you play football, American football, and doing your off-season conditioning, you're out there and you're playing soccer or you're playing I wouldn't say rugby. I would say some other baseball or something like that. You know, that gives you a chance to work some other muscles that you probably let lay dormant over the last few months because you wasn't using the muscles. If you're playing basketball and you get out there and you will decide you want to play soccer, that's good because that'll help you with your foot speed and footwork and things of that nature. Marketing yourself is another question that came up. Marketing yourself is the key to the recruiting process. Marketing yourself is a key to the recruiting process. Athletes, if you want to be seen by college coaches, got to get out there and market yourself. Coaches are not going to come to your school looking for you. Sorry to inform you of that. They're not going to come looking for you. So you have to get out there and market yourself. We can talk more about that. Call in anytime and have a question. We can talk about that all day long. Playing multiple sports, that was another question that came up. At some point in time, parents, I recommend, and athletes, you need to be aware of it as well. If you are good
at playing multiple sports, three or four different sports. If you play football, baseball, and basketball, and are good at all three of them, think about this. What would you be like if you focus on that one sport, especially getting around to your junior and senior year? If you focused on that one sport, honed in on them skills that you have, what would be your talent level, or what would be your ceiling? Unreachable. Think about that. Parent, Coach, and Parent Network. We're about to wrap it up for this evening, and I'm always going to try to get a chance to go into our mailbag and pull out a few things that came up as questions over the week, if I can remember, to get into our mailbag. Or if you have any other things that you want to put into the mailbag, just shoot me an email at any time, pcphr@aol.com. All right, parents, it's been another fine evening on the Parents, Coach, and Parent Network. As always, we appreciate you. I didn't have any guests call in and ask any questions, but that's all right. I'm quite sure you got something out of it. And if nothing else, hey, go out there and support my man's book before it comes on the big screen. I'm telling you, the book is a great piece of literature, a great read, Dismiss with Prejudice. You got some characters in there that you won't believe. But realistically, if you know anything about the sporting industry and you've been out there living in the real world, you know all them characters are alive and well and out there every day on the prowl trying to see what they can get their hands into. So without a doubt, check out Dismissed with Prejudice by Mr. Fletcher Cockrell. All right? All right, parents, I'm going to go out with my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith, close us out. We're winding down.
This has been the Parents with the Parents.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then be bought.